Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine podcast. I'm Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, your host, chief TV critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Jason.
I really enjoy the Bastard Machine blog you write over there at THR.com.
Did you find it?
It's a site now. Congratulations. You're a site.
Thank you. On my own site, apparently.
The THR website redesigned. It does look very nice. I am very happy with the look of it. I think they did a good job with the type they chose, and the layout seems pretty straightforward. It was hard to find you, but I'm sure they'll work out the kinks. Haven't gone through website redesigns before. You know, stuff like that happens, and you leave things on the floor, and you're like, nobody thought to do it. And then you spend the next few weeks fixing all the little bits.
I think they'll probably realize, maybe we should put Tim under TV.
Under television, yeah.
That might be a thing.
You and Dan both might better live under TV instead of sites. I mean, when I think of you, I think of websites, but most people think of television.
Well, it's funny because I did complain about that, of course. I know it's a shocker to anybody that I would complain and play the diva, but I was like, what the hell, man? I can't find Bastard Machine. And then when they finally told me it's under sites, I bit my tongue and didn't say what I just said there. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should be under TV as well. But I did say, oh, okay, because the first thing I thought when I saw sites, which is why I didn't click on it, was like, maybe these are other sites, like our partners.
Yeah. Oh, perhaps. See, I was going to say, congratulations, your new job is reviewing websites for The Hollywood Reporter.
All right, I'm the website reviewer.
Yeah, congratulations. That's a big step.
They'll figure it out at some point, though.
Yeah, they will. They will. And then maybe this new design will allow you, because we know the only thing keeping the power rankings from returning is complicated technical issues.
Wow. You are the devil, is what you are. That is what you are. You're a little troublemaker.
Yep, that's me. Well, you know, I made the power rankings happen that last time.
Yes, you did.
Maybe I could do it again. I don't know. Maybe
well,
not.
Well,
you're still speaking to me, which is miraculous given.
Well, also, you did have the funniest thing when I informed you that they said this other way would not work, and now, which they couldn't figure out in the first place, but now the new thing couldn't work out. And you said, oh, okay. And then the next day you're like, you know that story you have in the paper today that has your top shows of the year? That's just basically
the power rankings. That's true. You can now make tables at any time, which means you could do it if you really, really wanted to, but it would be a lot of work.
Well, they did tell me that that was constructing those things where I do the year-end list, and they put 1 of 48, 2 of 48, that is somehow complicated, and I wanted even to touch it. And so we sent everything in instead of through our Drupal system. We sent it in through.
All right. So they're probably doing something similar to what I did when I built those power rankings for you, which is something custom and complicated and all that. But we got
perhaps
to work.
Perhaps it is. They just said perhaps. For me not to mess with it. So
don't monkey with it.
Don't
all right.
mess it. Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple stories to talk about before we get to the letters. And as we're recording this, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I know you are of Irish origin. I am partially of Irish origin, too. And
yes.
Guess what? There is an Irish television show that you reviewed on St. Patrick's Day. What are the odds?
Go figure that. Unbelievable.
So it's striking out. And this is Ireland's number one drama. I had no idea that this show even existed.
I didn't either. I thought, I am a fan of Acorn. It was coming up on the Acorn site, and it fit in the window of reviewing. Actually, when I decided to review it, I didn't put the two and two together that it was premiering on Friday the 17th. I just thought, it's Ireland's number one drama. And I'm always, like I said in the review, at the beginning of that review, if anybody reads it, you'll see that, part of the fun for me is not just, what do they have? It's but how are they doing things differently? Because I'm savvy TV fans of the Bastard Machine and TV Talk Machine already know that it is kind of interesting that Sweden and all these other countries, Denmark, they all make really good TV shows. Especially the Danish, man, they make really good TV shows. And so many really interesting formats have come out of Israel. I really loved looking at how Gomorrah, the Italian, basically the Italian Wire, how cinematically they approached things, especially in their outdoor scenes at night, was really interesting. And I kind of like that sort of visual travelogue of watching a new show. And I don't think the Brits apply because, you know, I was, like you, pretty much raised on British programming. So it's still interesting when you see like Happy Valley and there's this, you know, beautiful farmland and all these rolling hills and you think, oh, what a quaint little place to be. And then you realize the show's super dark. You know, but I'm always interested in seeing who's coming up with what. And so I thought, well, okay, what do the Irish have? Let's see if the Irish, what? And it's a very modern, striking out. And I thought, why not? Let's review it.
It's from RTE, which is the BBC of Ireland, basically. And it's funny because Ireland gets the BBC. They get all of the BBC stuff, too. That's like an easy kind of English language programming. And although they are not the UK, they are their own independent country in the EU and not leaving. They still, when I've gone to Ireland, I've been to Ireland like every year for the last 4 years, and I'm going back again in a few weeks, so I've gotten a chance to see it, and I've always wondered, like, when you've got that cultural monster really hanging over you, which is like the UK is right next door, and they've got all this English language programming that's getting beamed into your country. What do you do in terms of creating stuff? It's a little like the situation with Canada, where it's like, how does Canada create material for Canadians in Canada when you've got this huge media monster right across the border that speaks the same language and can just send that stuff over? And so I thought it was really interesting. Like, this is an original Irish drama. That's pretty cool that RTE bankrolled it and made this, is a legal drama? Is that what it is? Is that the idea?
Well, it is and it isn't. And I think that's little teeny subtleties are what made it interesting for me because, you know, at the end of the day, it is basically a procedural, but I also think it's interesting because it's contemporary Dublin. And as I said in my review, I think a lot of Americans outside of you who's visited the last 4 years, a lot of Americans, they think that whole same thing, that whole pastoral green, right. You know, the green country with the fog and the
sure. There's
castle.
There's lots of sheep and horses and rocks and in pastures and things like that too. But there you know is. That's not the whole thing. And Dublin is a fun place, interesting place to be with a lot going on. And it's a European capital, and they've got there's quite a scene in Dublin. So it's kind of cool to have that aspect of Ireland that is not the, you know, guys in hats out in the fields, which is, I think, so much of what we get.
Guys in hats.
Hats, you know, they got those
guys in hats and fields.
There's you know, with the heavy coats and the hats with the, anyway, you know, stereotypes of.
No, it's true. And you know, Dublin is a very modern city and architecturally has an interesting thing going on, and I so it's centered there. The basic premise is there is a woman who works at a law firm. Her fiance works at the same law firm. She's out at her bachelorette party and leaves early. He's hanging out, but he's not hanging out by himself, sadly. And she breaks that little coitus interruptus thing. Well, I guess that's what it is. Coitus interruptus is breaking it up. So she interrupts that and, of course, is crushed and has to immediately decide to leave the firm because they work together. And turns out her dad owns the firm or his dad owns the firm. So, you know, there's just that. But it's the series is basically her moving on slowly and taking on new clients. But what I liked about it, because once she gets the clients – then it's kind of a procedural, right? Every episode is kind of like, okay, she has a new client and here's their story. And, although it's funny, every time I watched an episode, I kept thinking, oh, there's going to be more of that last story. Cause they don't kind of wrap things up with a dun dun like American television. It's like, yeah, I guess that's how it ended. I guess she figured that out for those guys, you know? So if that's interesting, there's not really too much. There is some lawyer lease and some court scenes, but not an excessive amount. And what I liked about the series was it follows her kind of like recovering from that shock. And I wrote in my review that American television, she would have been outraged and thrown things, and the next day she would have awkwardly seen him as she was getting coffee at Starbucks, and she would have spilled it and slapped them in public and all this stuff. In this one, I think that they have a much more mature approach to like how people really act. I think Europeans have tend to not be poisoned by how American television works. And for the most part. And so she's struggling with it. And then they build on that. And then, so her personal life is the story, and at least how I viewed it. And then the legal cases are kind of possibly a little bit secondary as she's getting her office up and running. Now, the things that didn't work so well for me was that once she got the cases, it was a procedural. And the other was kind of like this little meet cute part of it that, not living and watching television in Ireland right now, I don't want to assume that I know everything about what's on over there, but it struck me as like they saw this as like really kind of creative and an interesting angle where she basically starts her new law firm, quote unquote, out of a local hipster cafe, starts to see her first client there. And then she's, you know, the barista there who owns it is kind of a nice dude and kick back. And, you know, it's for that, for them, I think that's a meet cute for American television. I think it's been done 10,000 times by mm-hmm. now. So like, working out, having the temporary office in someplace eclectic is no longer really super interesting for American television. And maybe as it might've been for Ireland, but it worked. I wasn't too offended by that. And the acting is really good and everybody seemed really compelling. And I just thought, yeah, pretty good. It's not like Gomorrah where I was kind of like, wow, this is really good cinematography and acting and complex plotting. It's not Borgin or anything like that, but it's good.
And well, if you're an Irish viewer, you look at it and you say, well, what I get out of this, even if this is a little bit of a procedural, like something I might see imported, this one is from here and it's, right. You know, it's my people and my city and all of those things. And as an American watching it, instead, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like a procedural, but you get to see Irish people and Irish accents and you get to see Dublin. And so there's sort of like that's something for everyone, I guess.
I think that too. And I think maybe sometimes we tend to be a little more jaded about the plethora of available character actors in this country. You kind of have like a vanilla sheen to them unless a couple of them really stand out. But yeah. I always find that like in Europe, the actors seem to be really good actors and no matter what role they're in. So it's almost like every supporting role really pops because, man, that actress or that actor is really good.
Yeah, I think the training, the theater culture, and then also the fact that I think casting people in Europe do not have the same kind of like casting restrictions that North American TV often does. So you get people who look different than there's less of a range of appearances in American TV. It's all pretty much everybody is beautiful in one way or another. And even the fat schlub is not really fat and not really a schlub.
Right.
And in British and I would assume in Irish TV too, it's sort of like, no, we're going to cast people who are good actors and they mm-hmm. have interesting looks. And I always like to see that.
Yeah, and then they look like normal people.
I
definitely comes through. I mean,
maybe it's a normal person on their best day, but still a normal person, right?
Right, exactly.
All right, well, Acorn, another thing to watch on Acorn.
At some point, I might take you up because I know I saw you were talking to about this, but and you had even tweeted this, but I may actually end up trying to compare the two British services. We talked a little bit about this, but I thought, at some point, I'm going to try to do
BritBox
mm-hmm.
versus Acorn. That would be interesting to see how they're doing.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about your other story, which is a critic's notebook, not a direct review, but I thought this was really cool. You talk about Legion and there's like a compare and contrast to Twin Peaks, and that takes two forms, which is Legion is a weird show and Twin Peaks was a weird show, but also that Twin Peaks is being revived later this year, and you're saying Twin Peaks's weird show crown has been stolen by Legion. And I like that juxtaposition because I'm really enjoying Legion. And I was a faithful viewer of Twin Peaks back in the day, too. So,
yeah. And I think, well, let me preface this by saying, boy, did Showtime love that story.
you're just saying they raised the bar for Twin Peaks. Now they got to match it.
I guess they love me.
I think I think they're not happy with having to make a comparison with Legion, right? That's a tough ask.
It's tough and it's and I think it goes beyond that too, but it's they're not happy. But I think it's a totally legit take because I am pulling for Twin Peaks as a fan. What I wanted to get in there, which I haven't seen a lot out there on some of the things I'm reading early on about, you know, like the Twin Peaks retrospective, is that I think there needs to be a little more emphasis on the fact that Twin Peaks was actually not very good in its second season. Mm-hmm. I think 26 years goes by and you forget that, you know, and
sure.
we gloss over the failures and the fact that show just seemed to go nowhere. And it was like, ugh, it was like spinning its wheels so much. And then, and that's when all the weirdness and the quirk seems weird and quirky for their own sake. They don't really seem to serve the story. So I wanted to remind people of that. That's my position, that I don't think it was a great series. I think it was way ahead of its time in that whole, like, I am seeing something freaky on television, which I've never quite seen. I mean, above and beyond the Twilight Zone, in a whole new uncomfortable pocket of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that was like, this isn't just like, ooh, it's Twilight Zone, there's something on the wing, or like everybody turned into the mask they're wearing. No, this was like, people are crazy in the woods. And if you go to this, any of this little woodsy back, not even backcountry, just, you're just out on the, you know, you're out in the woods and you come into this like bucolic little town and everybody is a murderer or crazy person or a log lady or a dwarf that dances backwards. And so you see that 26 years ago and it's a game changer. But now we're way more familiar with oddities of every kind. But even given that, if you just want to play that, like, okay, we're all familiar with freakishness or really super creative storytelling visually, nothing prepares you for how out there Legion is, I think. And so I think that's a fair comparison to, like, Legion is what, you know, 26 years, I mean, later, what Twin Peaks was then. It's, and so my thing is like, okay, what do you have, Twin Peaks, when you come back? Can you
right.
outweird this? I mean, good luck. But beyond that, I think the other fair comparison that I kind of put at the end, I think is fair, is that the other thing people forget about is that David Lynch is a really iconoclastic filmmaker. His narrative storytelling is, I don't think, really cut out for television. So he's returning to television where those weaknesses in his toolbox 26 years ago were really exposed. Now, he could be a much better storyteller now in the genre or in the medium, but I don't know if he is. I do know that Noah Hawley is, and Noah Hawley has delivered two spectacular seasons of Fargo, which is in itself very weird, and asks the viewer to go along with a lot of really interesting visuals and detours. And I totally trust that at the end of Legion, which we're fast approaching, and it's been renewed for a second season, he's going to get me to a spot where I'm comfortable that he knows where the story's going. I can't say the same thing for David Lynch. I honestly cannot say that David Lynch is going to get me to a place where I think he knows how it ends, and it ends smartly, because he didn't do it in season two. So I think I have a right as a critic to be dubious about what's going to happen on Showtime, but Showtime didn't really see it that way.
I got to say, also, Twin Peaks is between a rock and a hard place here, because what about Twin Peaks do they want to bring back? Do they want to bring it back as a nostalgia trip of, like, remember our weirdness way back when, and these characters, we're going to play that back for you, right? And it's going to be modern, you know, modern day, but we're going to have the Angelo Badalamenti weird, you know, soundtrack, which I love that soundtrack, but it's super, but you know, it's got the brushes on the drums and it's super slow and it's trance-like, and you got the weird dialogue and the weird setting in the Northwest, and great, right? So that's, it's a nostalgia trip, but it's a fun thing to do, and that's, people who want to see Twin Peaks are going to want to tune in to see that. The alternative is to try and, like, out-weird the weird shows that are on TV now and do something really cutting edge. And you know what? They're not going to do that, I think. I think they're not going to even try that, because that's not why people want to see Twin Peaks. They want to see vintage style Twin Peaks brought back. And so, you know, in that way, yeah, I think it would probably be wrong for them to try and be Legion, because that's not what anybody who tunes into Showtime to see Twin Peaks is going to want to see, I think.
Right. Rock and a Hard Place is perfect, because I mean, as you say that, it's funny, because as you say that, I think people listening are going to be like, you know what? I don't know why I want Twin Peaks to come back.
Well, that is a question.
Right? It's like, what am I looking for? Like, yes, you completely recreated the feeling and the impression I got 26 years ago. Well done. Spot on. Is that the goal?
I mean, I personally... I have a lot of trepidation about this one because I did love Twin Peaks. I feel like the second season was interesting in that they resolved their story and then had no idea what to do. And in the last three or four episodes, I feel like they were kind of like figuring out where they were going, and then it was over and it didn't matter anymore. But there was that huge point in the middle where they lost everything and they lost all their viewers, and that was the end of the show. And Bob Iger was the guy at ABC at the time who killed it. He went on to do other things. He's an incredibly powerful guy now. So, so bring him back. Like, I really want, I think, is to see those familiar faces and hear those familiar sounds and maybe get a sense of what would Twin Peaks be able to do today with some of the constraints taken off of it, you know, which is, you know, being on Showtime instead of being on ABC. And having the ability to do stuff that they weren't allowed to do, maybe. But yeah, I do wonder, just like with the X-Files, I worry about what exactly we're going to get. And is it a modern show or is it a nostalgia trip? And if it's too modern and up to date, will it just alienate the people who want the nostalgia trip and vice versa? It's a tough call to bring back a show that many years later.
Well, you know, you already know my thoughts on nostalgia. I'm not a big fan of it.
And, yeah. I'd almost rather have a new Twin Peaks show with new actors and then some of the old actors in new roles as a wink to the fact that they were like Battlestar Galactica, right? Where they brought in Richard Hatch and they had him be a Tom Zarek. He was a totally different character than he was in the original Battlestar Galactica. It was a wink, and they had like the old music in the pilot play in the museum showing the old Cylons, which were again from the old show. But it was all like, it's a wink, but we're telling you a new story now. And I'd almost, that's what I wanted for the X-Files too, is I wanted them to do a new X-Files show with new characters. And if you want a wink to the past, great, but maybe it's time to move on. And that's sort of how I feel about Twin Peaks, is wouldn't it be cool to do a new modern take on Who Killed Laura Palmer with all this weird stuff happening in the woods. But instead it's going to be like, yay, look, it's Kyle MacLachlan, much older than you remember him.
If he still
you
only likes pie.
He's still drinking coffee.
Oh, that's a good cup there.
Damn good coffee.
Yeah. See, so I'm the same. I mean, I was, you know, it's funny too. It's really hard to, people who want to see their Twin Peaks, and there's been some kickback online, not too much. I don't know if that's just because people don't care or they're afraid that I'll, you know, tear at them a new one if they argue with me. I have no idea, but there was a little bit of kickback. But I was just like, really? I mean, because the thing with Twin Peaks was, everybody who wanted it to be the same was really resistant to the early criticism. I had literally the very first review of it, and Fox was apoplectic when that came out. And, you know, when people got to see future episodes, it sort of bore that out. There was the third one or the fourth one, and it gave people hope that it would correct and it'd be less Chris Carter stuff and you know, better writing. There was that week, you might remember, where people were like, okay, well, this one's a much better episode.
Darren Morgan wrote a good episode of The X-Files. What a shock. And what then back into the tank, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, that'll be good. And no, it wasn't. And at the end, you finally got the diehards after they were able to absorb it. And a lot of them said, that kind of sucked. And I think critically, we're supposed to be on the front end of that and see it and not have the emotional, not look at it with our hearts and say, oh, I love you, Twin Peaks. And
it's not your job not to hurt people's feelings, right?
Right.
It's your job. It's your job to be honest. and that is the same thing. Now, I mean, you haven't seen, I think it's fair for you to say, look, you haven't seen a thing of the new Twin Peaks, but the challenges it faces are great. Like we've discussed here, like even at its best, it's a tough act to pull off. And if they do, I'm sure you'll be the first one there saying, look, they did it. The talent involved here, I you know, it's amazing. They made it work. But do they have a great chance of it? I don't know. And I was a huge, I mean, I went to diners on the day it aired and watched with a group, like in college. I was totally into it. And even I am like, you know, are we exhuming the body here? Is this a class reunion or is this something unholy that's happening here? And I'm really uneasy about it, just like with the X-Files.
Yeah, and that, I think that's, you know, I think in, I'm sure that after the couple of emails that were exchanged with me from the Showtime people, they're probably just given up because they're just, they're convinced that I have it in for them for whatever reason. And I, of course, I revert to my same thing, make better shows. I just admitted to them that they're making a lot of shows I don't actually like. And they have shows that I used to like that are long in the tooth that I don't like them so much anymore. But it's certainly not personal. But I also pointed out to them that it's just like you just said, it's very fair to point out the obstacles that you are about to face. And as a critic who's using history as a guide, I think it's very fair to say, well, I think your odds are going to be, you know, increased because of the track record of the person running the show and doing the show, who is brilliant at as a film director and does what he does, has no proven track record in the TV genre. So, and the other guy who does Legion, he is really proven. So I think that's a very fair observation. And I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope that Twin Peaks is something I look forward to seeing on Showtime every single week.
And I think it's only fair to mention that we live in a world where you've got shows like Legion and Mr. Robot that are that have taken, you know, our perceptions of what television is and how you tell a story and do weird things on TV like David Lynch does in some of his movies. And that the bar is set high, like it's not what it was. And right. And that's the world that the new Twin Peaks comes into, like it or not. That's the world it's entering in.
Exactly. Good luck.
Good luck. Well, we've got until, when does that come back? Twin Peaks is in May? Is that right?
May 21st, I believe. Yeah.
All right. So it's a ways down the
It's almost like a 26 years, a month shy of 26 years when it comes back.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, we should do some letters, don't you think?
Do that.
All right. So before we do that, let me tell you, I got a sponsor. It's very exciting. I know you love it when I read a sponsor.
I do love it because that means people are advertising on us because they love us and they want to hug us.
That's right. It's because our listeners are beautiful and intelligent people. Mm-hmm. So this episode of the TV Talk Machine brought to you in part by my Hopscotch. So we all know what a pain buying a car is. Let me tell you, the thought of walking into a car dealership is enough to trigger an anxiety attack on its own. This is absolutely true. And none of the popular internet services do anything to level a playing field. Instead, you're still left to negotiate with people who negotiate for a living, wasting lots of your time and money. This happened to me. I bought a car and I got the internet quote and all of that. And then you know what I had to do? I had to go to the dealership and talk to a car salesman. So it's like, thanks, internet, for not saving me from having to do this.
Right.
But guess what? Help has arrived, and it is in the form of myhopscotch.com. It's a car buying service that will do it all. They find the right car, then negotiate the price, trade-in, financing, and even all the warranties and extra stuff the dealers want to sell you, so you don't have to. If you need to be more involved, they will customize their services just for you. The bottom line is they work exclusively for you. There's no conflict of interest, so you feel like royalty when you walk into that dealership. Just like snap your fingers, pick up your car. You got the best deal possible. Your people took care of it for you. You just want the car. My Hopscotch even guarantees you'll be thrilled with their services or 100% of your money is returned. How about that? Seriously, you may never buy a car any other way. Go to myhopscotch.com. Just like the game you played on the playground as a kid, myhopscotch.com, and use the promo code TVTalk for an additional 10% off. Myhopscotch.com, promo code TVTalk. Thanks to My Hopscotch for sponsoring TV Talk Machine. And thanks to everybody out there who signed up as a member of The Incomparable, by the way. We did post the other day our special bonus episode of that for members in the member feed where Tim programmed Tim TV.
I did, yes.
That's right. It's only the best for you if you're subscribed to Tim TV, not an actual service yet.
Not an actual service.
Yes, that's right. Consult a doctor. Okay, some letters. Here's one. It's from our good friend Hobo Eric in the +44. Yes.
Okay. Eric and he
wants
back.
And he wants to ask about what we just talked about. Hobo Eric says, my friends and I are deep into our rewatch of Twin Peaks. Tim's article about Legion intrigued me. Don't get me wrong. I love Legion. It looks amazing, walks a tightrope of craziness, and has a fantastic visual style. But it's been on for 6 episodes and doesn't really have a compelling story it's telling yet or well-drawn characters. I figure we might have some things to say about that. Anyway, I'll read the rest of the letter. Mm-hmm. Will I be rewatching it in 26 years later? Probably not. Twin Peaks had... at least 20 episodes of compelling television that still hold up, and yes, 10 straight episodes in the second season and 3 at the end. He's saying the same thing I did, which is the middle, not so good. Weaving at least 20 main characters through a soapy, sad, funny, and disturbing story was its strongest point, not necessarily the weird bits, though they were the weirdest of them all. And David Lynch was off doing Wild at Heart and other things, so wasn't fully involved all the way through, so I can forgive some of the droopier episodes. He's back for all 18 this time, so it will be all his vision, not diluted through other directors and writers, and underneath all of Lynch's style, there's substance and more so a feeling of dread. Of course, we haven't seen a piece of film here, so I'll hold my judgment until May 21st, but it will be a ride. That's Hobo Eric's take on Twin. Now, he's rewatching it right now, so he may be, full down. I'm not entirely clear, by the way, on exactly how much creative input David Lynch had into the ongoing story of Twin Peaks. I was always under the impression that, you know, they brought in a writing staff that took care of it, and he was just really there to set the visual template and not run the show. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was what's his name, Frost, who did more of that.
Yeah, Mark Frost was
Mark
that?
Mark Frost.
Yeah,
But I could be wrong. Maybe he did, and he certainly has more input this time. Perhaps he certainly has a more vested interest. He's out front in it. He's not. I get the impression, based on things that Showtime has said, it basically that like whenever they're done with it, we'll show it. So I'm not expecting a whole lot of interference from Showtime. But what I will say to Hobo Eric is, yeah, Eric, this metaphor might not be the same because you might not like this filmmaker, but people were pretty excited to know that Woody Allen was going to do an Amazon series. That didn't work out so hot. And it didn't work out so hot because it was just weirdly structured. It was like a movie cut up into 6 different parts or 8 different parts. But it also just didn't, it just kind of didn't work. Because that shtick is done, and I like Woody Allen a lot. He's one of my favorite filmmakers. So I don't know. I disagree that there are not really well-developed characters on
Legion.
And I think that the story is getting... I think the story is weird, but I also think the story is not... I think what's going on in David's brain and what's going on in the story are also... quote unquote weird. When you get into the astral plane stuff, that is especially true. But I think it's pretty clear the fundamentals that there are two groups and that there is a main character who thought he was crazy, but actually has powers he's learning to discover and can't really control yet. And that we have sides and we have a protagonist and we have a forward direction. I think that's very clear. That's not hard to follow. It's the exterior stuff, which is so great, which I love, that it's confusing and I want more of that.
Yeah, I will defend Legion pretty far. I will go to the mat for Legion because I feel like for a psychedelic storytelling style and weird imagery, that every episode has things in it that move the story forward and move my understanding of what I'm seeing forward, that although it's fun as a puzzle to watch an episode, I don't leave the episode wondering what I just saw. I leave the episode going, I see what they're doing here. And and so, you know, I maybe not everybody works like that, but I don't see Legion as something where there's like a lot of weird stuff happens and you're like, what the heck was that? I feel like everything in Legion, I'm like, okay, I see what I see. That was a weird way of telling that story point, but I don't feel like, oh, I don't even know what's going on in Legion. I feel like it's that's what's so great about it, is that Noah Hawley has this kind of mastery of getting this weird stuff to coalesce into an understandable point at some point during the episode. You're like, oh, I see. That's interesting, right? Instead of Twin Peaks, which I loved. Twin Peaks was a lot of like soap opera tropes and then something weird. And again,
right?
I liked it, but and it's not fair to compare them because it has been decades, right? TV's not the same anymore. The pace of Legion is so beyond what the pace of Twin Peaks was.
Yeah, not to mention standard def and high def.
That's true.
There's been some advancements. But I will say, I'm just going to say, I think that your ability to understand paranormal activity is a little more heightened than a lot of people's. I'll just leave
it at that. Mutant power.
It's your mutant power. You are a certified nerd.
It's true. I have the card right here.
You have all of that stuff. So, mm-hmm. And you also have a history of shows like this. So I think that
The average viewer might be a little more confused about what's going on.
The linguistics it's using are something that you're familiar with. And for other people, I think when people are confused, and I think some people are confused about it, I would just say, I don't think they might have your same ability, but I would say that they're giving up saying, oh, it's too freaky, when, like what I said, it's very simple underneath. The other stuff is more complicated, but
right.
The great thing about it is, I think you can go with it. Like, first of all, you have to go with it, and it is challenging. It's a challenging series, but it's fun in that way. If you don't want to be challenged, it's not a show for you, but you can sit down and after the fact and say, oh, okay, like you just said, like, that's why they did this. That's right. Why they shot it this way. And I think it's a good show to watch, maybe not in the same room with people, but friends watch it together. And then you either get online or you meet for a beer or whatever. And you say, oh my God, what the heck? What did you see? And then someone goes, yeah, did you see how many X's there were there? They keep popping this X up. And I think that the devil with the green eyes is really this. And like, yeah. Oh, I can't believe that
the guy in the ice cube. Yeah.
Right. Like and what is an astral plane? And what does that really mean? I think those things are fun to talk about. And if you don't think that they're fun to talk about, it's not your show.
Yeah, I agree. And when I say I get what's going on in Legion, I'm not trying to applaud myself for being some sort of super genius to figure all this stuff out. I think you're right that some of it is being kind of conversant with this kind of material and being able to be like, I can go with some of the, you know, powers that these characters have. I'm like, oh, I get that. That's this kind of superhero power or whatever. I've seen that before. I guess what I was really pointing out was that I feel like Legion, if you pay attention, and maybe you have to go back if you miss something, but like, it's all in there. I feel like it's not like every episode has got all the information in it that is necessary to understand what's happening. Not necessarily that you will, but that if you go back to it later, you'll be like, oh, I see, that was that important thing that happened there. And that I think that's impressive that he manages to bundle every one of those episodes up in a way where it is capable of being understood. You may not understand it, but given enough time, it contains all that you need, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think another thing that I didn't point out, I mean, I kind of hinted at this at the bottom of my review or my critic's notebook about it. I think that another fair thing would be to go back, and I would ask Hobo Eric and anybody who loves Twin Peaks and is rewatching or trying to remember as well as they can, I would say, what did it mean? Like, all these peripheral characters and their weirdness. Some of it, yeah. Some things were like clear. You could say, okay, this was a metaphor for this outright evilness that's around and prevalent. But what a lot of the other parts of it, I think, were weirdness for weirdness' sake. You know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure they had a lot of ties into.
And it's the story, like the log lady didn't really tie into the story. She was just a weird character. And
there was a lot that didn't tie right in. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, why did we do that? It was amazing to look at. And it was a total mind fuck. There you go. Check the box.
Check the box. All right.
But that's what these shows are. They're total mind fucks. But at the same time, like we're talking about, Legion, I think, is doing it with a purpose, and I can see it.
That's
I can see the artistry and how they're doing the visual criticism and how they're making a template that makes sense to the bigger story. I don't know if I see that with Twin Peaks other than like, oh, that was really weird. It doesn't mean anything all these years later, but boy, I still remember it because it was weird. So there's a difference there. And I think it's easier just to say, hey man, that dwarf's talking backwards. And you can say he's a reason. Yeah. I think the majority of the stuff, people would have a hard time writing a thesis paper about what it all meant.
All right. Since it's St. Patrick's Day, here's one from Andrew in Ireland.
Love to your mothers.
It's the top of the morning to your Irish mothers and other cliches. St. Patrick's Day to you both. Irish programs rarely get international exposure, possibly because all of our best talent goes to the UK. Aside from we were watching Buffy and Knowing Me, Knowing You, I'm making the plunge on the Americans. What seasons are the ones to enjoy or even avoid? Now, I have a prediction here, which is that you're going to say none are to avoid. It's yes, all great. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do I get it?
Yes. That's right in the
just
notes.
Watch it
yes.
all, Andrew. Watch it yeah. all.
There is not a misstep.
Nope. There you go.
I will say this, Andrew. I did call it out at the end of season three. I did not like the season finale of season three. I'm on the record. You can find my THR review of it. I thought they made a huge misstep in how they handled the storytelling, but that didn't distract from A, the season, or that particular episode. I just don't think it was the episode I would have ended with. And I thought that they didn't make a connection. I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't watched it. There was a connection of a character who I thought would have really been the center of the story. And that character is not really relevant to the final episode. And I thought it was a mistake.
Wow.
Later on, they were able to prove me not so wrong. I still believe they didn't handle it perfectly well, but like the path that they chose had a phenomenal conclusion in the next season. So, okay, I get it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to, let's see what I've got here. This is a good one on Twitter. Ron Barr, who is looking to be my nemesis or your nemesis, says,
"Hello, Ron.
I disagree that there's too much TV for anyone except TV critics. We're never going back. Enjoy the ride. Are there too many books, movies, songs, apps, concerts?" So how can there be too much TV if there are not too many books?
Well, all right. I would say, okay, that you could say on the face of it that argument holds up, but you also have to understand that there were too many books basically as soon as there were books, right? There was never too much TV as soon as there were TV. There was never too much TV 30 years into it. You could absorb it all
right.
after 30 years. You could watch every single show on television pretty much.
Movies probably pretty early on became something that, yeah. So too much doesn't mean like they should stop. It means that this is a medium where it used to be, you could have encyclopedic knowledge. You could see everything and you could know about everything that was on. And that's no longer true. You just can't.
You can't. And it's not that there's a downside to that. The only downside to that is that, I mean, it's hard because I try to approach my criticism never talking about ratings, never talking about how much money was spent. I don't care, you know, like film critics, I don't care about box office. I care about if the movie was good. And so I don't care about ratings. Just give me a show that's good. The problem is now is you're right. That's now approaching music, which is, there is too much music, but like, is there really? I mean, it's great to have that much stuff, but I'm a huge music fan and I could spend 24 hours a day listening to new music and thinking, oh my God, I didn't know this existed. It's amazing. It's probably one of my top five things I just discovered this month, and then repeat it the next month. It's, you drown in it and television's getting there. I would just say that I'm a big fan of television as a critic of really good television, and I want people to get to shows. And so when I see it's too much TV, it's like, hey, are you excited for the third season of Catastrophe? And people are like, huh? I'm like, oh yeah. Dear.
Well, somebody on Twitter said when I pointed out, and I knew this would happen when I said it, but when I pointed out that I actually haven't seen Fargo,
right.
Somebody was like, how could you not have seen Fargo? And my answer was basically, because there are lots of great TV shows I haven't seen because I only have so much time that I can watch things, and time when my kids are not around to watch things that are more adult, and times that I can watch things with my wife, and what are the shows that we're already watching? And like, there's a whole list of things. Unfortunately, I can't just say, Tim says Fargo is great, I'm going to go out and watch it. I'm struggling to watch The Americans, and I'm still only in the first season of that because then eight other shows pile on top of it.
Right.
So it just makes it difficult. But yeah, I mean, to Ron's point, yeah, absolutely right. It's not too much. It's an embarrassment of riches. It's the platinum age of TV, but it does make it hard to swim through for the average viewer because you have to choose among great shows and you can't see it all. You can't see every five-star TV show at this point. It's impossible for, even if it was your job, you couldn't see it all.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to have been at the scene when that happened, which we all were.
Yeah.
We were there. Like, you know, we weren't there when books were overwhelming, but we were there definitely when television became overwhelming. And it's a good thing as well. I love the fact that, like I said, I follow lots of music now, and I look at my Twitter feed and it's overwhelmed with music choices, and I'm like, wow, what band? Yeah. Really? And then, you know, periodically one out of three times I'll click on it and say, all right, well, this keeps coming up and everybody's like saying, check out this band. And I'll click on it and I'm like, oh yeah, how much stuff do they have? Because I like it.
Right.
And that's great. I love that. So I'm assuming that's akin to somebody saying, oh, Tim and Jason were talking about Fargo, and then they were talking about Magicians, and then they were talking about Catastrophe. And like, they, if they discover it and they like it, that's the same feeling. They're like, oh my God, there's so much stuff. It's all good.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We have one more. This is from Meredith in the 407.
So, hello, Meredith.
As she says, Landa, this is Orlando. Land of theme parks, crazy alligator stories, and sunshine. First-time commenter, long-time listener. I have an observation I hope Jason is also seeing happen on the Magicians. I am. The bumps into commercial breaks. I understand sales want to sell more time, but the way they're cutting off the show and plopping the commercials in is frustrating and maddening. Yes, so basically what's happening is I wonder if some of this is the Magicians, them deciding to edit the show, just like they keep the F-bombs in, and then Sci-Fi just, instead of writing around them, they keep them in, and then Sci-Fi just bleeps them out. I wonder if they're not building in fade-outs into their act structure. And what the net result is that literally a scene of the Magicians ends, and it's a hard cut to a commercial. Like, there's no fade out, there's no pause, there's no black. It just bumps right into the commercial. It's super jarring. It's really unfortunate. I don't know what's going on. I don't, you know, I really don't know. But that's my guess, is that maybe the show has decided to have, you know, have the structure of not having a fade out or something that's fade outable. And rather than inserting some blank frames, they just cut to the ad. But it's super jarring.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't.
I did not know that, because I'm behind on it.
I have this theory that eventually standard commercial live TV is going to become completely unwatchable. It's going to be all like bugs and lower thirds popping up, and then you throw in that everybody's saying the F word, but it's all getting bleeped out, and then you never know when a commercial is just going to pop in and yell at you, and that this is all just ways of pushing us toward digital, like paid digital plans where I can get, because I always feel that, I already feel that about the Magicians, like where can I just go watch the episode with the F-bomb still in it, because I don't care. Funny? And at some point they're going to say, oh yeah, well, if you subscribe to this service that has the Sci-Fi premium, you'll just get the shows with no commercials and all the bad language intact. And I feel like maybe it'll be like websites that have pop-up ads and things, and they'll say, well, if you just pay, you get the special version of the show in this case. I don't know. It's weird, because that is super annoying. It's like, you know, we already have commercials, but now the commercials are cutting straight in. Maybe it's an anti-DVR tactic too. I don't even know, but it's really awful. It's quite awful. And they don't seem to be doing it to The Expanse, which is why I feel like there's something going on there where it's maybe how the show is made, that they make it to cut it like right at the break. And they don't have fade outs or anything like that. I don't know.
Well, the only thing I don't know, because I'm not watching, the only thing I will add to that is that's a dangerous philosophy, given that The Magicians has not been renewed.
And and The Magicians has not been renewed, and The Expanse has, which I also think is interesting. So, yeah. So,
keep your eye out, folks.
Yeah, maybe not. Who knows?
When we say cut it like this, we mean cut it like this.
Yeah. Meredith goes on to say, Tim, I know you're not one to finish a series. But what have you heard about Emerald City? I ended up doing the hate watch thing until the end, and it left a lot on the table. Not sure I'm committing to another season, but I wanted to know what the experts are saying. Emerald City hasn't been picked up either, right?
No, it has not. And I don't...
It seems unlikely, right?
Yeah, it seems unlikely. I wouldn't hold out a lot of hope for that one. No. And you know, yeah. THR just ran a story yesterday, today? I can't even remember, because it's all blurring. About, you know... I guess there's 17 new network series since January 1, and not one of them has taken off. So,
yikes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And in the same story, they, I mean, I don't know whether it's true or not, but they indicated that CBS has basically given up on its like patience. Like, we'll see how this works out. Maybe this gets better because a lot of networks were like that, but CBS is not. They've already moved one show to Saturday, which is basically sticking a knife in its back. Yeah, and the other one, Doubts, with Katherine Heigl, they just pulled it off after two episodes. They're kind of giving up quick. Yeah, like that's a big star cast, and they're like, yeah, nobody watched it. Goodbye. Yeah, and it's not, and even like not, it's basically spinoffs of the same name outside of Dick Wolf and his Chicago stuff. They're not doing well. So it's been a pretty down midseason for the networks, and they're all kind of panicking because they only hit, I think, in the entire fall was This Is Us.
This Is Us, right.
The breakout series, you know, and then that ended. You know, people were super annoyed at the This Is Us finale. So yeah, that's network television's in a rut.
Ouch.
I don't know how to fix it.
Well, it's not your job to fix it.
Thank God.
It's your job to chronicle its failure.
Its demise.
So that's good.
I mean, I can offer ways to fix it, but basically, I mean, look, if I could fix it, I'd be a millionaire many times over. But I certainly think that it is suffering from some of the problems it has repeated endlessly from year to year. And even if it's not doing those things now, it had lost a lot of audiences because of that. So yeah, here we are, and this is the bed they made.
Yikes! Well, it's both an amazing time for television and a terrifying time for television, depending on where you're sitting.
Yeah, and I always hope for example, I'm gonna do this story. I keep saying I'm gonna do this story because I'm a television critic and I've seen all these shows. But I remember I was on the site, maybe it was THR, and they were it's not current, and they were showing a scene from Netflix's Easy, and I was like, that looks like an interesting show, and then Easy on Netflix, I'm like, I vaguely recall that, is that new? And like, I was like, this is what I do, yeah. And I was like, it was like, I looked it up and I was like, well, I'll be damned. It already has a season in the bank and it was reviewed fairly favorably. And I was like, well, maybe I will track that down. And I was like, wow, what do you do when you're not, you know, even close to being that aware? And there must be shows that are really huge name shows that are slipping through people's, you know, not just the Americans, but yeah, like America. I mean, like huge shows where people are talking about them all the time. And they're like, nope, never heard of it. It's like it's like The Tick. Nope. Have you heard of The Americans? Nope.
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't know. I was like, oh, Easy. I guess I'll put that on my list.
Well, you know, I talked a few weeks ago about Travelers, the Canadian science fiction show that was on Netflix. I'll tell you, the amazing thing about that is, so I talked about that here. I think I talked about it somewhere else. And every few, maybe every 5 or 6 days, it's more than once a week, there's a tweet from somebody who has discovered it through some chain that seems to have come from me, saying, oh, I just watched it because I heard Jason talk about it and it was great. And it's amazing to see that happen, because that also suggests a complete lack of awareness of that show anywhere, that I mentioned it in passing and then I can actually see the word of mouth happen beyond that.
Traceable back to you.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool, but it is surprising to see that, because that's a Netflix original in the United States. I know it aired in Canada, but it's like, for the US, that's a Netflix original. And just nobody, you mention it to them and they're like, is that a show? Who's in it? Is that Will from Will and Grace? Yes, it is. And you know, it got picked up for a second season too, by the way. But, yeah, so this is the world we live in, where it's like, you, this is your job, and yet there's a show, and you're like, you just totally spaced on the whole first season of it because
because there's too much TV.
There's too much TV.
I did tell a fan of Sense8 that there was a Christmas special, and they're like, no.
See?
And they're like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was a Christmas special.
Yeah, and the second season's coming soon, I think.
Yeah, but. And they're like, no. I was like, oh, yeah,
really?
There was. Google it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Of
course, I added, I haven't seen it, but I know it exists.
Yes.
And I'm going to watch it. It's on my list. It's a big list.
It's a big list. Mm-hmm. That could be our slogan for this podcast.
It's a big list. We'll get to it.
All right. Here's how you can reach us, everybody. You tweeted us at TVTM. That's super easy. I'm Jay Snell and Tim is Bastard Machine, but TVTM on Twitter is perfect. You can email us podcast@tvtalkmachine.com. You can post on our Facebook group, facebook.com/TVTalkMachine. Those are great ways to reach us. And then maybe we can't read them all. We get so many that I actually end up having to skip over, but we get them all and we love them all, but we just can't read them all on the show. And that's it for this week, Tim. I'll talk to you in a week, and maybe more shows will have appeared on Netflix in the meantime. Oh, there's one now. Oh, there's another one.
Just popped up. I'm going to have my people from Hopscotch take care of that.
Yeah, that's good. Sorry, just
see what I did there?
Look at that. That's some ad integration there.
I just did that. Yeah.
All right.
I think it'd be good to say my people did that. But yeah, we have more shows to talk about. We'll do it next week.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll see you next week.